episode 285.
Oklahomos.
I'm Saverin.
That's Fizzle with a cock in his mouth. And I'm Shiva.
Yep, and it has been a couple weeks since we last recorded, and what a momentous couple of weeks it has been.
Holy crap.
Boy, yes. Howdy. The Supreme Court did not fuck up. It was narrow, but they didn't fuck it up.
They were one away from fucking it up.
Oh, it was... It really was the best of both worlds. They didn't fuck up, and we still got to bask in the sweet, sweet rage tears of Antonin Scalia.
Dude.
How
do you pronounce
it? Scalia.
Scalia.
Well, just the sheer amount of sads that we've had over the past week is pretty delightful. And, yeah, and we'll also talk about OklaCon this week, because there's been some happenings.
Yes, well, so we have a resolved drama storm in Oklahoma. It could have been a drama tornado that swept a whole con away and then put it back down.
My phone is ringing. Like, what the hell?
You need to throw that shit away.
I was like, what is that noise?
And the thing is, I remember to mute everything.
Yes. And it's
just keep talking.
It's farting away on your...
It is.
There's also another small drama tropical storm forming in the New England area, so we'll discuss that a little later on also.
Is this a drama storm or a regular storm?
Oh, this is my drama report.
Oh.
This ain't a weather report.
So you're the drama weatherman.
Yeah, the shit storms are a-coming. But
this is something I want to start doing.
Man, Supreme Court didn't fuck it up. I'm really happy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. My shit's legit here in Texas now.
Yeah, and who knows? I may end up legit at 1.2.
Get you hitched. Find you a nice woman. Make an honest man of you.
Something like that.
Yeah, if the woman's got
make you a nice woman and make an honest man of your panther. You can keep the beard. Word for that chicken Eurovision.
Right. So, yeah, I found out about it, like, slightly late, I guess. Only, like, by minutes, because I was driving down to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was not on my mind. I was more worried about driving to Houston, which is pretty long.
It's like driving into the belly of the beast.
Well, it's driving, like, nearly 5 hours. And, like, I don't have to worry about falling asleep at the wheel like I used to, but it's still a long-ass drive. And I was doing it completely by myself.
A long ass drive.
Yes.
Like being fucked by a horse.
And I actually, I fucked up and actually accidentally got on 35 instead of 45. And then I saw a thing, it was like, Hillsboro, 26 miles. Waco, something. And I'm like, Hillsboro's not on the way to Houston. Shit. And thankfully, I was not that far south on 35 east and just cut across 20 miles of Texas country roads to get to 45.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those towns are like 65, and then it goes to 30 in like half a mile. And there's a cop right there, and I'm like, no, you fuckers ain't. And I go to like 28 and peg it on cruise control.
Yeah.
At least I had in-state plates, right?
Those little towns are bad about that.
But, yeah, I...
They could have civil forfeited, like, all your pony flyers.
That would have been... We'll find something to do with these. We can wallpaper the schoolhouse with them. They're cute. But, no, I was actually in Corsicana at their... I was going to go to the Collin Creek Bakery. Their Collin Street Bakery. It's where they... It's like they have a really famous fruitcakes, and it's a famous thing. It's like what Corsicana has as a claim to fame.
Oh, okay.
But they were under construction, and they weren't open yet, and I was like, well, fine. There's a Whataburger. I'll go to Whataburger, because Whataburger.
It's safe and everywhere.
It's safe and everywhere. Well, everywhere in Texas. And, like, read the news and was like, oh, shit, I'm tearing up in public. This is bad. Oh, God, I'm so excited. Ah! Great.
Yeah, that was the day that I got nothing done at work. It was as bad as when the DOMA decision came like 2 years ago, and me and like Keo, Zap, and Sarah were all sitting in training, and we're all sitting side by side, looking at our phones and hitting refresh on the news.
You're like, go for it, come on.
And then I didn't concentrate for the rest of the day. And this was much the same, you know, because they started SCOTUS announcements like 9 in the morning our time.
And like, they just like, first thing in the morning, queers can get married, high five, we're out.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck your productivity.
And, like, just the sheer amount of retweets and whatnot.
And oh, yeah. And I tweeted at a point where I was just like, sorry, not sorry for all the marriage-related retweets today.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, the I'm going to be excited not only for myself but for everyone else.
Yeah.
And fuck you if you don't like it.
Yeah. My Facebook turned, like, pure rainbows. Somehow looked out and not had anybody say anything nasty or negative on mine.
What's funny, right, is I am a total Facebook noob. I barely know. I mean, I can post to my wall and shit, but I don't see other people's feeds. I'm like friends with lots of people, including people in my family who I know are real bigots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where to go and see their shit, so I don't see it. Like, I see there's this, you know, the cluster of rainbows. I'm friends with you on Facebook, and I'm friends with, you know, you and Sarah and whatnot. And so I see, you know, there's the icons, there's this wall of rainbow, and then there's a couple of my family that are like, that if they saw that, just be like,
we're going to stay resiliently monochromatic.
or they just put like black, you know, the black ribbons on the corners with their photos black and white.
I couldn't do it on the app, so I had to do it after work when I got home, the rainbow thing, but like... It seemed really redundant to rainbow my icon because my Facebook icon is a picture of Tieran and I from our wedding.
In case you couldn't tell, they're now double gay.
Exactly. It was already pretty gay marriagey, and now it's like even more gay marriagey.
Yeah. Well, like, I was tempted to do it with, at least my furry icon because it has a transparent background.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be really simple to do, and I'm like,
Facebook made it easy. They had a tool.
Yeah, I would have to do it manually for Twitter. I mean, it would take me like no time. But everybody knows I'm a big old queer on there. And if they have a problem with it, well, they don't follow me, so.
I'd seen a few people comment that a lot of the rainbow icons that's on Facebook were from their straight friends. And I think that's really awesome.
I mean, it's a big deal for everybody because, you know, we're all gay of some flavor here, and you know, you got married in California, and now you know, well, I can get married here in Texas, and they can't do shit about it, right?
Yeah.
But you know, there's still lots of straight people that were, you know, unhappy that their gay friends couldn't get married, and it's very understandable that they would be excited, just like we are.
Yeah.
And you know, anybody being like, "Oh, what are you straights doing?" I'm like, no, they can be happy too. This is a big deal, and you should be happy.
I haven't seen anybody bitching about allies or anything. I'm just saying that I wanted to say how happy I was that.
Oh yeah.
Because we couldn't have done this or gotten as far without straight allies.
No, of course not. I mean,
and that's something I saw it pop up on Twitter. I saw it a couple places around, just people bitching about like Facebook and Twitter and people who are straight, who are posting gay rainbows and turning their icon.
And people were mad about it?
Yeah, because they were like, how dare these straight people?
They're appropriating gay culture.
Yeah, the basic thing was, is basically, pride is a gay thing. How dare these straight people rainbow up everything when I have closeted?
And the thing is,
me is like, I see all those rainbows, all these people accept me for, you know, who I am.
These are
and it's like, this is all people who are okay with me.
Yeah.
And you're getting fucking salty about, oh my God, here's a very visible, you know, hey, I'm okay.
Well, like, parents really want to go and do Pride this year.
Really?
They want to vend, but they'll be there to attend as well, I'm sure.
Vend and attend, motherfucker.
Well, they sell tie-dye. I mean, that shit would sell to queers.
I haven't been to Pride in 2 years. I really want to go this year, especially
on the heels. Year's going to be off the fucking chain.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be insane. Even if it's going to be hot as balls. That's one reason I end up not going.
Isn't it like in October?
September.
Oh.
It's going to be insane in the membrane.
That's the whole thing. Insane, it's like you're holding a fucking parade and it's still almost 100 degrees out. Move it like 1 month later.
That's the thing, though, is that it used to be in the summertime. I remember Panther and I went 1 year and we like got sunburned, like horrifying sunburned.
Didn't we go with you guys 1 year?
Possibly.
Tieran and I thought, went with y'all and two or three other people.
But yeah, it's going to be insane down there.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going. I will stay at home in my happy little gay married household, which has air conditioning.
I just want to, because it's going to be like a year of like fucking triumph.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I said this on Twitter, but announcing it on June 26th.
Yes.
2 days before Stone...
Stonewall anniversary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to the day, 2 years to the day, is the DOMA decision. And I think the same day as the 2003 Lawrence v. Texas decision.
Yeah. Huh.
This is Ultra Gay Day.
It's something very... they do on purpose. It also keeps all of our big gay anniversaries right there.
We keep it corralled in June.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes
sense.
It is
very appropriate to do the announcement during Pride.
Just think, Texas got the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Lawrence v. Texas, 2003.
Yeah. Legalized the sodomy.
Yep.
Once we could fuck, we were like, we're ready for something more. Now we want to fuck our way to the altar. Yes.
Yeah, now we want commitment. We had our sex, now we want commitment.
Yeah, we fucked for 10 years now. We're ready for you to turn this over and let us get married now.
So we can file jointly on taxes and see each other in the hospital and sign legal documents.
Yeah, that's really what's important. I mean, we could do the taxes thing with DOMA from 2 years ago because that made it federally recognized. But now it's like, I mean, the house is already in both of our names. But like, if Tyrion's family was like horribly homophobic, which they're not, and Tyrion died or something,
they can't.
They could come in and try to fuck me out of any inheritance.
And that's a story that's happened many times.
Yeah, like the partner just gets completely shut out of.
Plus, I mean, like simple things like, you know, insurance can be cheaper, and you know, it's like lots of little things that add up.
Yeah,
it would make,
you know, like I said, just being able to
way easier
to visit and to be able to go, no, fuck you, we're married, and visit each other in the hospital if it's like an emergency situation.
Yeah,
and they're like only family. Being able to make a call.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is my partner going to have major surgery, or you know, he's really against that, or you know, all that stuff where.
Well, it's like, you
know, that a spouse knows that isn't necessarily like written down somewhere.
When I had my weight loss surgery, I had to fill out a big power of attorney form for Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And were we hitched, his word would be law. But I actually had to like enumerate, no, this person who I've been with for at that point 10.5 years,
yeah,
or no, 9.5 years, that I have to, you know, legally say, no, this person can make decisions for me.
Yeah.
And it was like a step further that I shouldn't have to do. And now it's less of an issue.
Yep. So suffice it to say, we're all very happy.
Yes.
About this
I'm very decision. Happy. And
in my own private little world.
Idaho?
Yeah, no. Huh? No.
My own private Idaho.
There was a big stink because some dude up in Montana... filed to marry his second wife today, legally.
No.
And he said that if he doesn't, he's going to basically sue the state and, you know.
Well, of course, you got cunts doing that nonsense. Oh, well, it's going to lead to polygamy. Well, the only people that are, the polygamists tend to be.
Hello.
Well, no, I'm saying like.
I was going to say, I would marry both my guys.
But the whole, the slippery slope that they've been positing for years, most people that are, like.
I'll marry my dog, I'll marry my kids, I'll marry my car.
Are very religiously conservative folks, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
My thing is Mormons are one of the ones very conservatives, and they're the ones that are most be interested in polygamy.
No, very specific sex within it, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
Crazy sex,
you know, just wait until, you know, someone's like, well, I'm going to marry my dog.
I don't remember what part.
Like when your dog can sign a legal contract, feel free to get back with us.
Yeah, I don't remember where we had this discussion, but we're talking about polygamy and multiple spouses, and they would have to make sure, like, it's like keeping out the bad polygamy, like the one man with 50 sister wives and
child brides
and that kind of crap. You know, I mean, yeah, it'd still have to be 18, but still, you could have that sort of in mental induction. Into
yeah, it's
shit
never,
like that,
it's not going to happen anytime soon, and you know? It's not even on the same fucking scale.
The thing is, it was good news for me if this starts rolling through. You know, I doubt it'll go anywhere in my lifetime.
Thanks for shitting all over it, Sour.
No, I'm just saying that the people that have been bitching about the slippery slope of once gays get married, it's going to be polygamy and then marrying a dog. It's been their religious conservatives.
Polly is often used as a scapegoat with that slippery slope.
Yeah, argument. So is marrying your dog and, you know, marrying your child and all that other stuff. Thing is there's cultures all over the world where multiple wives are very done.
And we're not very, and Westerners don't generally like them because they're kind of in the Middle East for the most part.
Yeah, them crazy countries.
Yep.
Watch us be all nationalist here. You know, West is where it's best, yo.
Yeah. I will be, what would that be? Hemispherist? Perhaps. I think the Western Hemisphere has most of their shit together relative to the culture I like. So
you know how, like, sometimes something that you just sort of accept when you're a child, and years later, it's like that scene in Clerks 2 when Randall realizes, my grandmother was racist. Huh, I never realized that. You know, and the whole taking it back thing and everything. Yeah. And I remember, something that we would find odd, like culturally, like the whole eating monkeys' brains, like in Temple of Doom and Clue, they make those references, and the eyeball soup and stuff like that. My mom would say stuff like, well, that's what they do in those funny countries. Meaning basically anywhere, like Turkey and all the Middle Eastern countries and India. And
funny countries.
Those funny countries that are not like us, you know. And now I'm realizing, it's like, wow, that was a little bit racist. Damn.
It's cultural. I mean, it's not confined to, like...
It's very British, British Empire sort of leftover from the 50s, kind of.
They used to be our kids, but they're not anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, gay marriage, woo.
So, that was item number one, and I've made a wee list here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Oklacon was the next thing I wrote down.
Yeah, so Oklacon has...
Had a bit of a shitstorm.
I'm really surprised, because...
It's a shitstorm that's been going on for 5 years that nobody knew about except for the people that run Oklacon.
Major
I know
kudos.
Nothing about that from running a con and keeping things on the down low.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I want to start this by saying that the best run convention would be when there's no drama whatsoever.
Yeah.
Immediately under that is when there is drama and only the staff knows about it and front of house attendees has no idea that shit is exploding and falling apart backstage.
Uh-huh.
But you keep your shit together, you keep on message, and you make the show go on.
The show goes on, yeah.
Because we've had shit happen with Fiesta, and Fiesta is successful every year. Oklacon has been dealing with bullshit and drama for years now.
If you go to there,
I never knew any of this was going on.
And we're friends with a good deal of the staff.
Go to
Oklacon's FA page. It's Oklacon.
Yeah.
They have a big journal write-up on what happened. It's an amazing read where, holy crap. Long story short, there was a change in leadership at the park. They were not too fond of the Oklacon clientele. Things had been getting more and more hostile and prickly as the years went on. And then last year, a couple of newbies to the con got drunk, got caught having sex in public. And
that was the last straw.
And basically, in Oklahoma, it is illegal to have sex with a woman, even if she consents before or after, if she has been drinking. So, apparently, there was a gal involved. She had been tipsy.
And she was underage.
Wait, did it say she was underage?
I don't know. I don't remember that part. But regardless, there was a gal. She was drunk. It was technically...
It was three people that were all drunk
together. Okay, so I have the thing pulled up here.
So, they basically returned their deposit with a very short message of basically talk to our lawyers, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And Oklacon had to scramble to find a new campground, and the new campground that they found couldn't accommodate the same weekend, so they had to move it one weekend up, which unfortunately clashes with Nightmare Nights.
Yep. I was really looking forward to going to OpenCon this year as my cooldown con, but
so Savern won't be able to attend, unfortunately.
So
OkaCon is now instead
October 23rd,
of Halloween,
25th.
Instead of Halloween weekend, it is now the weekend before Halloween, and instead of Watonga, Oklahoma, where it had been forever, it's now in
the last 12 years.
Last 12 years, I forget the name of the town. It's southeast of Tulsa, so it's more on that eastern side of the state.
I know it's just outside of Muskogee, Oklahoma.
I'm expecting Savern to tell me since he's looking at
the
journal.
Oh, you're comment number one, Fuzz.
Yes.
First.
Okay, so, yeah, they're October 22nd to the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Our longtime venue, Romanoa State Park, is changing this year to Sequoia State Park.
State Park.
Yeah, S-E-Q-U-O-Y-A-H State Park.
Debating going up there. I actually have two of our raiders live right there by it. Might do a joint thing.
Huh.
See OkaCon, go visit folks.
Joint things aren't legal in Oklahoma yet, though. You have to go to Colorado.
Yeah.
Washington.
It's a little bit of a drive. Yeah. Okay. And Portland, Oregon, too.
Oh, did Oregon?
Just
it's,
Portland?
It's, yeah,
just in Portland?
It's like it's legal to possess and grow but not sell.
Mm.
So you have to give away your weed.
Okay. In exchange for some money.
Okay, so
I'll leave this brick of money over here. If you pick it up, well.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just read through this real quick, or I'll paraphrase as much as I can. So,
well, we've already paraphrased a lot.
Yeah,
of
it's like change management, hard to abstract away the different people, personalities, and policies this change in the park staff has had on our group. Chill indifference from the park managers or rangers in the last few years.
They did not like the fur fags.
They did not like the fursuits, yes. They made it very clear they personally object to our group at many levels. They don't appreciate the core of our being, our fandom, or the artwork, fursuits, or other elements that make us unique and special. They've made several overtures against our group for those in attendance in same-sex relationships, and we've been asked at times to try to ask attendees of the same sex to not hold hands.
That was not cool.
In certain instances, rangers have hassled our attendees simply because of their look, and suggested perhaps they were substance abusers simply because they didn't look the part for what newer management wanted their park to cater to, families with children. And they basically, and I will give OkaCon a major thumbs up because, like, it's pointed out that
This has been going on for a while,
but it's like, okay, some months later, park rangers realized they did not document the event properly, going back to the sex thing.
Oh, right, yes.
And the Blaine County District Attorney, in his official capacity, requested through the rangers a full attendance list for OkaCon 2014, so they may potentially contact each OkaCon attendee to find out if they could corroborate the written affidavits they already had. And OkaCon was like, wait, you want all the information on all our attendees? Send us a subpoena. They fucking had a spine.
Yeah.
And so major kudos to them for that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's greatly appreciated. I mean, I didn't get to go last year, but I don't. What would they want with that information for other than to possibly hassle people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, shit happened, and then so in any event, they've moved, and I wish them all the best. I wish I could go this year, and it sounds great, though. The park is bigger.
The A-frames are climate controlled, which is something Roman knows failed to be able to do for the last 5 years or so.
They also, like, the lodge is a great deal bigger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure it will be a positive change. It's just, it's unfortunate. We were actually having a discussion in the car on the way back that, like, in that weekend that Watonga brought in a good chunk of the
11% of their annual income because Watonga is fucking tiny,
yeah,
and there's not much going on there.
It's a crossroads.
Yeah, and then 300-400 furries show up, and we eat, and we buy, and, you know, some of us stay in town, and I've known several people that have been like, hey, one of the two grocery stores is having a sale on steak, and they've gone and bought, like, 15 fucking steaks for the barbecue outside the turkey roost.
Yeah.
Or buzzard's nest.
Yeah. I mean, I did that a couple of years.
Yeah.
I just went down, put an order in with a butcher, and they gave me a big sack of meat, and I brought it up and I cooked it.
And, like,
I know a lot of our attendees went and perused the liquor stores as well.
And so. Panther always enjoyed getting Watonga cheese.
Yep.
That was, like,
and
local.
That kind of thing, you know.
And the Whirlwind Winery or whatever, they're in town. We actually finished up that wine here, so we don't have any more of it.
They actually was a decent winery.
Yeah. Well, we
So the biggest losers in this whole situation are actually the business owners of Watonga.
Yeah. And I think there was a thing in this journal. They were like, why don't you guys can contact the Chamber of Commerce and, you know, the city management office and let people know, you know, that you are part of a group of a few hundred people that would come into your town in late October and we won't be back this year because of this.
Yeah.
Feel free to let the state park know,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we may be weird, but we got money. And that's what matters in the real world.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy elections. You would think if during our town spending money, we should be able to do whatever we want.
Well,
raise hell, sacrifice their children.
And eat chicken fried steaks.
That to our first suited God.
Yeah. that's how it works. So,
So that's Oklacon.
So you mentioned something up in Northeast?
Yeah.
Yes. So, is this breaking for you guys? It's just because I follow like nearly every furry convention on my Twitter account.
Just as I follow every PonyCon. So, yeah. I mean, we have to know our business.
Yeah, for planning purposes.
Oh, trying to move S-Squared too.
Oh, where are they moving it to?
No, they're talking about it. They haven't actually confirmed. They were trying to move it to Madison, Wisconsin.
F-Squared.
Mm-hmm. Where was it? In Minnesota? Michigan?
I'm trying to remember.
It's for the 2D-fers.
Mishisota.
Yeah, because we know how to do geography.
So there were two furry cons in Massachusetts. Yes. So last year, Maltese Fur Con ran for the first time and the last time.
Mm. Oh.
So Maltese Fur Con announced on their Twitter today that they were shutting down the con due to a lack of pre-registrations. It was like less than 10% of what their attendance was last year is pre-registered, and they only had like 200 or 300 attendees last year.
And this was like, when were they running their con?
Fall, I think. It's like August, September, something like that. I'm not sure when it was supposed to be. Now, and so they posted a big statement on their website about shutting down and everything.
They're going to be on the hook for a lot of money.
That's not the news. The news is in the back third of the announcement where they're like, we were really fucked over by another local convention, and we won't say who they are, even though there's only one and everyone can pretty much figure it out, because apparently people aligned with said other organization would talk shit about Maltese Fur Con and be like, don't go to that con, it's a bunch of losers and stuff like that. So the other con, air quotes in this case, would be Anthro New England, which occurred about a week after Fiesta this year, which is also up in that Boston area, I believe.
Wait a minute. There's two cons 6 months or so apart, and they couldn't play ball in the same region?
Yeah.
For fuck's sake, children.
One, because Anthro New England was clearly the more successful of them. They had about, their first year was last year also, and they had about 700 attendees. Now, some people have criticized Maltese Fur Con for being in a apparently very expensive hotel. The con rate was $180.
That's more than, that's like what you pay for a con.
Yeah, that's
more than we are. Like,
yeah, significantly more than
that's ridiculous for a furry convention. And they're like, it's not so much if four people split. And I'm like, no, four people are used to splitting $110 a night, not $180.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting to see if more information comes out about this. But I find it interesting that they were like, we're shutting down and fuck you, other local con, it's your fault.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at I'm actually looking at the website right now.
Reading the letter on it.
Let's see. I'll be personally issuing refunds over the next 90 days to anyone who pre-registered for a marketplace to be in attendance or to be in attendance at the convention, with priority given to our dealers first and to attendees. As these refunds will be coming out of my own pocket, we ask that you be patient during this process.
Yeah. Conchair's fucked financially by this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when they were supposed to be, but, you know, venues don't like it when you cancel 3 or 4 months out.
Yeah.
That's a damn shame.
So that's the issue up there. I'm waiting to see if more information comes out about that and what went on. I'm sure if I was in charge of A&E, I would just not fucking say anything. It's probably like the best strategy. It will be interesting to see if they have any kind of response or not. So the second this year's con was supposed to be August 14th to 16th, which is basically a month and a half away.
They're in there. Oh shit.
They were in crunch. Damn.
Yeah.
That's fucking heartbreaking.
But really, like, if you're a month and a half away and you've got like 20 people pre-registered, then yeah, just I don't blame them for folding, basically. So that is the situation up there in New England.
And I feel for them. I know what cons are on the hook for that close.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
Yeah.
Because it's under 3 months.
Yeah. If it was an expensive venue,
well, hopefully they registered it as under their business entity, and their business entity can just be like, bankruptcy, and they skirt away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope
that they were not a sole proprietorship.
I hope not.
Because, Yes, it's a 501c7, Nightmare Nights is an LLC. Either if our events go down, we go, well, that sucks, and that's it.
Yeah.
They can't come after us individually.
So, one more news thing, and then Shiva has a news thing.
Yay.
So, the Girl Scouts.
Oh, yes. I
wanted to touch on this. It is relevant to our show.
This is beautiful.
The Girl Scouts actually have a long history of allowing transgender girls to join them in their eyes, which I agree with.
They've always been very progressive.
A girl is a girl. Yeah, way more so than the Boy Scouts. They don't have the religious bullshit. They don't care if you're an atheist. They don't care if you're a transgender girl.
They don't make you shoot pigs in a cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they sell cookies. I mean, when I was in Cub Scouts, we sold first aid kits door to door.
Or popcorn.
Popcorn.
Boy Scouts.
Because be prepared popcorn. And stuff like that. And I'm like, fuck that. Give me Girl Scout cookies 11 of 10 times. And you can tell I have eaten 11 times the cookies.
Well,
anyway.
You'll see signs like, you know, for we don't want vendor, you know, we found Christ. We don't need a vacuum. We don't want to be going. So unless you're selling cookies, go away.
Right.
It's like Girl Scout cookies are always welcome.
That's my policy too. You know, I don't want to buy my new windows from somebody coming door to door.
Happy with our landscaper.
Happy with our landscaper because I'm very happily married to Tieran. So what happened in this case was, you know, like most not-for-profit organizations, the Girl Scouts are always looking for donations, and they had somebody offer them a $100,000 donation.
$100,000.
Which is a lot of cookie money. Now, months later, the gay marriage decision came down.
No, it was Katherine Jenner.
Caitlyn
Jenner.
It was Caitlyn Jenner was on the cover of People, Time?
Something.
Well, okay.
I don't know. One of the magazines.
Some magazine. And the Girl Scout,
they reached out to the Girl Scouts and said, you're not going to use this for any trans girls, right? And they said, no, girls are girls. I said, okay, we want it back.
Yeah,
so they gave it back.
They actually didn't even demand it back initially. They were like, if you're, the way they said it was, don't use this for any trans to support any trans girls, and if you can't agree with that, give it back. And the lady that was in charge of this charity arm or something had to think about it, wrote them up a letter and said, we're giving you your money back. Now they put up an Indiegogo fund,
which I'm pulling up right now,
in order to replace the lost $100,000. First it was cool that they got the $100,000 back on Indiegogo. Then it was even cooler when they doubled it.
It's almost tripled now.
No, they've tripled it.
And now they've tripled it. See, last I checked, it was at $260,000.
I'm trying to see where they're at.
Okay.
Because I'm on their mobile.
Yes. I think it's, is it GoFundMe or is
they're on Indiegogo. Says for every $50,000 we raise together, 250 more girls can participate in the life exchanging experience that the Girl Scouts has to offer. I'm trying to, I can't easily see what the total is, but
yeah, it's not very friendly on the
update
phone.
7-2. Thank you for standing for with and for every girl. Together, you've made sure that more than 1,500 girls can join a troop, go to camp, participate in the multitude of life change. So they have
$307,741. They have tripled the amount of the initial donation.
Good.
Yeah. So fuck you, assholes.
Yep.
And it's like
all because of trans girls.
I mean, come on. And it's like there's such a minuscule, tiny, tiny, tiny percent of a percent, and you're
really going to make that. Like, you're going to be willing to donate 100K.
But and because there's, like, a half dozen trans girls.
And probably the entire organization, you're going to be like, no,
give me my money back.
I hate LGBT people that much that I'm like, fucking ridiculous.
I saw something else on Facebook about where basically someone had hired someone for a wedding.
A wedding, yes.
And they turned their icon rainbow. So the people snippily said, well, we support traditional marriage, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have to ask, and oh, can we get our deposit back?
And they go, lol, no.
And they basically say, well, sorry you feel that way. We don't hold the same values. And by the way, you signed a contract that says that's ours.
Retainer is non-refundable.
But we're not going to keep that. We're going to give it to GLAAD. So that was like twist.
Oh, I hadn't heard
knife.
That part. That's awesome.
Oh no, they didn't keep it. They gave it to GLAAD. I was like, "Fuck you."
I don't remember what company it was. It was either Southwest or American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody replied really shittily to their rainbow colored icon.
I think it was American.
And it basically, the company's official response was, we're sorry you're offended. You know, that non-apology that politicians love to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, sorry, one more story before we go on.
But another one, a whole bunch of facts here.
One of the ones I found very amusing was some right-wing fuck nugget.
Attacked, is also really good.
No. Well, that's dumb too. But no, attacked NBC for gaying their icon for Pride. That NBC has had the same rainbow-colored peacock for like 75 years. And when that was pointed out, the guy felt like such a fucking moron. And he should, for multiple reasons. But
going to hell, I'm moving to Canada. It's like, gay marriage has been legal in Canada for almost 10 years. Fuck off.
Well, we'll move to Mexico then. Sorry, bro. Legal there, too. Legal in South Africa. Legal in, like, Venezuela and Brazil.
Large chunks of South Africa.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Most of Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Britain.
Mm-hmm. Spain. Portugal.
New Zealand.
Yeah. Australia's kind of feeling the pressure here.
They
might have a...
Now,
it's down to you in Somalia, Australia.
I will say that when I was looking to get residency in Australia, they were more progressive than the U.S. by far, because you could actually go into Oz through immigration as a common law, you know, or basically a long-term partner. As in, if you prove that you lived together and basically you were equivalent of married, then, yeah, they let you in.
That's
I'm trying
good.
To remember what the term is.
That it's
was
common
10
law.
Years
it's
ago.
Common law.
No, they use a different term. But, yeah, it was basically not legally bound, but you still have built a life together.
I believe the term is wallaby darned.
It is shacking up, living in sin.
So, yeah. So, but that was 10 years ago, and they haven't really moved beyond that point
right.
since. But that was still far more progressive than anywhere else at that time.
Yeah. But you can't stop there. You got to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
So, I know the basics of the story, but you think you know more of it. So.
I know a little bit more of
it. So we have a furry
A furry need.
A furry need.
Okay, so there is a gentleman. I'm trying to remember what his Twitter thing is, but his like handle on Twitter is like Ginger Beard Bear. And he was, I don't know if you heard about it, but over in Taiwan, in Taipei, they were having a big festival, you know, big party at like a water park, and they were having a dance rave. And in one of the effects was to spray out colored dust over a crowd. Unfortunately, the dust was starch-faced. So there's, you could look up videos. If you look up
cornstarch,
Go Asia Play Fire Taipei, basically what you see is this giant cloud of green dust go over the clouds, over the crowd, kind of reminiscent of like where you see the festival in colors in India.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what
I was thinking. Like,
yeah, only they use like chalk face and such.
Yeah.
This was starch-faced, and it caught fire.
And that
so
shit.
Suddenly there's a fireball in the stage of where that's built for to hold 1,000 people. Like 500 plus people got hurt, some minor burns.
Some major.
This gentleman got burned over 90% of his body.
Two people have died.
They barely have gotten any, they had to do emergency surgery on his legs. He's going to need extensive skin grafts. He's an American. He was over there teaching English. He'd been over there for like 11 months.
Oh, man.
And he is incredibly injured. They have a GoFundMe going on to help pay for his bills. They asked for $75,000 to help cover all the skin grafts. They've raised over $62,500 in 3 days. He's from New Hampshire, so he's not far away from where I grew up. Apparently, he was well-liked. He used to work at Chili's and was a very popular server.
Mm-hmm.
So Chili's is having a big fund drive for him to help for this.
And it's such a freak occurrence.
Like a big, cheerful guy. I mean,
yeah.
And
he knows Woody, Mutt, and Perro, who are on the Midwest Fur Fest staff.
I mean, he is in deep shit. Seriously,
yeah,
I mean
I'm assuming maybe they've stabilized him because you lose that much skin, it's really fucking hard to keep you hydrated.
It's
a fucking
really
nightmare.
Touch and go. They just backed him off like nitrogen dioxide and more back on. That helps get in, force in air.
Okay, I was
open
like,
up pores to help release.
Boy, howdy.
So, yeah, he is in, I mean, God, I can't imagine the pain.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Saverin, I am DMing you the link to the GoFundMe.
I'll put it in the show notes.
If you on to GoFundMe, his name is Alex Haas, H-A-A-S. And he could use a lot of help.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
That's
even
really
kidding.
Gnarly.
Yeah. And he's one of us. He's a fur.
Yeah.
So, anything people can do to help.
So, that's it for the news part of the show.
Yeah, and sorry to leave it on the downer
note, but
well,
we
at least he's alive.
Oh,
there
he
is at FCM.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like...
That guy?
Yep, that's him.
Yeah.
On the far right of the picture there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
He was over there teaching English.
Yep.
Got to teach them furries how to talk to, you know, us Americans.
There's a lot of comments on, like, his GoFundMe from Taiwan and such offering all kinds of free stuff to his parents and such for free rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just...
You know, if they get out there to...
Oh, no, they flew out there in an emergency.
A couple of his siblings have flown out there.
So, yeah.
But,
it's a big deal.
Cornstarch is... I mean, the fires in, like, grain silos and shit, those fuckers explode. I mean, you don't fuck around with fire and grain dust.
If you ever want to see something neat, go on, like, YouTube and look up, like, flour fire and why you'd never use flour to put out a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, poof, gone.
It's just flash powder.
Yeah.
All right, so at that point, we are at the done with this portion. I'm going to stop and save, play some music, and we'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Thanks for listening. And we're back. And now it's time to shill some more. So, we have a Patreon. You can always go for as little as $4 a month, or even less, because Patreon lets you do that. You can help support the show.
Yay.
Go to patreon.com/notcast, and you get the files at least a day early and in higher quality, and helps us, well, make the show. Because actually, we now have enough money in the Patreon account, or should, to actually replace this damn mixer interface that has been broken for fuck ever. And results in us being robot-voiced occasionally. Though I think it's only happened like twice this episode. In other news, our friend Rikoshi has also started a Patreon. Ours is Patreon too. Yeah, so it's Patreon slash Rikoshi, right?
I'm going to double check.
He's going to pull it up. So he is going to be writing the sequel to Summerhill, which I did the audiobook for Planet. It's available on audible.com. Search for Summerhill by Kevin Frayne. Because if you search for Summerhill by itself, there's several books titled Summerhill. But this is the one with the anther dog on the cover is the one you want. But he's writing the sequel to that and has set up a Patreon to help him.
Patreon.com/Rikoshi.
And so help him.
And there's a free bonus story up there right now featuring Tech the hallucinogenic otter from Summerhill.
Yeah, yeah. Don't lick the space otters, kids. So that's cool.
Especially don't rim them. They have hallucinogenic anuses.
Everything about them. And in further audiobook news and book news, I have finished the mastering on Uncovered, the fourth out of position book. So I will be contacting Kyle and we'll get that all set up and hand it over to Audible as soon as possible. So you should be able to get a hold of it here in the near future. That's cool. And in the meantime, I may do a couple of couple more for Planet books. And
yeah, we'll figure something out. Yay!
And Kyle should have the manuscript for the fifth and final audition book, I think, done October-ish?
Yes, it's called Lee Dies at the End.
Yeah.
No,
he just ran his mouth one fucking too many times, and Dev just palms his face and just squeezes.
I'll text Kyle and be like, "Hey, we have an ending,
a couple alternate endings for you."
Yeah.
Anyways, so. Yay, so books!
So, speaking of books, I'm going to be at Anthrocon.
Yeah.
Which is coming.
In a week.
Anthrocon is coming.
Oh, God. We have so many books. Too many books.
Too many books. Your asshole will grease because it's coming.
Oh, God. 6,000 furries are coming. So, we'll be in the dealer's room, as usual, for Planet. Three dealer's tables on the wall. Yay. Walk in, turn left, come and see us. Only place you need to go. No. There are other cool people there, too. But you only need to spend money at my table.
Yes. No. Buy his books. Buy his books.
Please, please buy my books. So I'm going to have kind of a weird Anthrocon this year because I did not get the time off of the day job. So I'm going to be flying to AC. So Buck is going to be driving my car. Tieran's going to be driving his car. And that's how the stock's getting there. And I'm going to fly out Thursday after work and actually come home Sunday evening. So it'll be a slightly abbreviated con for me. Those guys can handle setup. Though they always do just fine without me. At least I'll be there. Majority of the time, dealer's room is open in order to like relieve people for lunch breaks and stuff like that, and maybe go to a couple panels.
Yep.
So it should be all right. We have a ton of stuff coming out. Fucking
so much new books.
So much new. Like I don't want to mention it's like I guess like two or three of them because there's so many, I don't leave people out. Go to forplanet.com, click the new items link on the left-hand menu bar, and there's like, it's probably 21 or 22 on the site right now. We might have a couple more by the time the con rolls around.
A whole bunch of art books.
ton of art books. Yeah.
Marquette and Sampico's. You wrote about them last week.
Yeah, ton of prose this time, too. We have, I think, 3 anthologies coming out and 2 or 3 novels. So it's a pretty big year for us. And God, we've been spending so much time proofreading and typesetting all these book layouts and stuff like that. So we've been super freaking busy lately. So please come buy some of it and you make all your furry dreams come true.
Happy fapping.
Yay. I guess we have to read emails now.
Yes, so let's read some emails. We do have a few, which is more than I expected considering we have no presence on FA as of late, because that's my fault. So, this one is a follow-up to the wall of text from 2 weeks prior.
It's not also a wall of text.
No, it is not. Greetings once again, Notcast. Apologies once more for the lengthy read last week, and special thanks for the most expedient and insightful reply. I am writing not only to thank you for your help, but also to give you an update on recent events and clarify a few things. Firstly, I've gotten over that depressive bout that I had been I've been talking a lot lately. My tongue is really tired.
Firstly, is that what it's tired from?
Sure.
It's not from rimming hallucinogenic otters.
No. I mean, you have to get it really in deep and wiggle.
Yeah, firstly, and then your eyes go all funny, like in Robin Hood when they get hypnotized and their eyes go, trust in me.
You're the one that was your gateway drug, wasn't it?
I think I just completely bewildered.
Let me read the email.
No.
Firstly, I've gotten over that depressive bout that I had when writing the previous email. The whole episode lasted about 2 to 3 days, and I would have liked to put it behind me. There's nothing to be gained from wallowing in self-pity and
lasts longer than our episodes.
To waste any more time in such fruitless endeavors, even if I can't overcome myself and end up forever alone, I'll be damned if I don't spend my time productively. Also, I believe that with a positive attitude, things will start sorting themselves out gradually. Or at least I need to believe that. Smiley face. Secondly, I'd never thought of myself as self-loathing. My self-esteem issues are eye-gougingly evident, but it never occurred to me that I may have been suffering from self-hatred. I usually pride myself on my perceptiveness and empathy, but I guess things are a bit different when one has to analyze one's own self.
Yes.
My sincerest thanks in pointing it out. Smiley face. I'll have to work more towards alleviating that issue. Another thing, I may have confused you a bit with what I realize is now a local term. By humane medicine, I wanted to denominate your run-of-the-mill medicine of the human being. Locally, we distinguish between humane and veterinarian medicine, hence my confusing literal translation. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
So people.
Medicine.
People medicine as opposed to critter medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you kindly once more for your insight and your time. Your help is greatly appreciated. I wish you the best in your future endeavors, and who knows, I might have some more pertinent advice to ask you in the future. Best wishes, Anonymous.
Okay.
So, there we go. We helped.
Yay! Well, the BLFSCon report?
Yes.
The latest BLFSCon, BLFSCon report, and other stuff. Hey, Notcasters. I keep forgetting to email you guys with my BLFSCon report, but I'm finally getting around to hammering out a quick con report for y'all. I drove up to BLFSC on Thursday afternoon of the con from San Jose. I made decent time, snuck around the construction on 80, but ran into a hairy rainstorm going through Donner Pass.
At least you didn't get stuck and snowed in and have to eat like the people in the next car over.
Yeah.
Nothing gets your heart pumping like when it's pulled out of your body and held in a fist and... Kalima! Kalima! I'm so hungry today. Nothing gets your heart pumping when slushy rain comes pouring down in a deluge and everyone who was doing 65 is suddenly doing 35. Thankfully, after that, there was no more rain on my path to Reno. The rest of the con went by in a blur. I fursuited a tongue. Worst fursuit ever. Hung out with friends, stick it in your ass. Hung out with friends that I rarely get to see and hit up some parties. And I amazingly didn't even get tipsy the entire weekend. Fursuit go-karting with lots of fun on Saturday afternoon before the fursuit parade.
That sounds kind of terrifying.
It's free too. It's actually covered in the cost of being
there.
Yeah,
no, I'm just like, the fursuits generally have really bad field of vision. Anyways, go on.
But afterwards, I had to rush to switch suits for the fursuit photo and parade. I definitely don't want to repeat that again.
So it was terrifying.
Yes, because he had shit himself from the terror and had to go and change suits.
I had no peripheral vision.
It's overrated. The con hit 2,443 attendees this year over last year's attendance of 1,442, almost double their numbers. I had to give high praise to their creativity with the dealer's den and their all-out fucking balls-out devotion to an awesome theme. Everyone really got into either being on the side of the corporation, biggest little brother, or the resistance. The Resistance won at the end of the con, but the battle for control will continue next year. Viva la Resistance! Yeah, actually, next year's theme is basically the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing to do.
Oh, yeah, that's next part.
Directed by Michael Bay.
Explosions. Fursuits. Switching topics. So this is something that we probably would have mentioned if we had done a show last week. But,
yeah.
Rest in peace, Doug Winger. A lot of his art was hit or miss with me, but the fandom has truly lost a legend. A lot of the artists I follow owe a lot of influence from his art and creativity. He will be missed. Thanks, guys, for reading my email, and keep on casting those knots. Kashid. P.S. For Saverin, the chapters in Summerhill completely threw me for a loop when I listened to the audiobook. Thanks for clarifying in a recent podcast. I'm looking forward to the audiobook of Uncovered.
Yeah, that actually, we had an issue with ACX on that, too.
Yeah.
So, I was like, no, chapter two, this goes first. And
yeah.
There's some weird numbering conventions here. It is the first, I promise you.
The ACX people actually added a disclaimer to the product description of Summerhill.
It is slightly out of phase.
So, Doug Winger, he was one of the first guys I ran into on the fandom back in FAE. He's one of the biggest artists from the early years.
Yeah.
Whether you were into hyper or not, he had a nice, clean style. Could mimic Minerva Mink ideally, though, with a gigantic fucking cock.
And gigantic tits. I think.
And, could she titty fuck herself?
I'm sure she could.
He approached it with tongue in cheek. He knew he was being ridiculous, and he didn't care. You know?
I heard once that he actually made them more ridiculous the more people complained about them.
Yeah. That strikes me as something he would do.
It's funny. We had this conversation like last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, remember when Doug Winger was shocking?
Yeah.
Remember when his shit was weird?
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, look, it's a food Applejack fucking bat Fluttershy. Okay, whatever. Oh boy, look at this. See that giant wolf woman has two sets of tits and three dicks. Pfft, whatever.
I've seen Winger.
But it's funny because it's like, yeah,
everybody
we think about that.
Used to use him as the bar for weird. This
Doug Winger was weird. The guy that they showed off to be like, look at how fucking weird these furries are. And now it's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is the guy always had a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
He did. So.
And it's interesting, you know, our fandom is now old enough to have some of our, you know, progenitors dying.
He wasn't that old. He
61. No,
but still, you know, you look at, like, Michelle Light and the ladies on the Pirate Show and all them, they ain't spring chickens no more.
No, they're not. Well, I'm heading for not spring chicken.
Yeah. We're on the older end. We're very slightly past the median age of the furry fandom at this point.
I started this 19 and I'm heading for, you know, 38. So, you know.
13 and 32.
But Fred Patton is 75.
Yeah.
So it goes back to that generation. Mm-hmm. The people that were like reading sci-fi in the 60s and 70s and then going to furry cons in the late 80s.
I sure wish I was one of them space cat dudes. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I totally fuck a lady cat. Yeah.
And then furries were born.
Now, you know, Dr. Tran, cats have barbed penises and never get raped by a domestic cat. But, yeah, it makes me interested in, like, like that generation of furries, you know, that like first generation. And yeah. It's like,
what's part of the reason why like I love collecting and archiving old furry comics?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I have old issues of Albedo, mm-hmm. and a first edition copy of the trade paperback of Omaha the Cat Dancer, and like the first six episodes of, or first six issues of Critters, which mm-hmm. was like the North American first appearance of Stan Sakai Usagi Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, this shit is, you know, this is where furry started. You know, way yeah. back in the fucking day. Mm-hmm.
It got hot later.
Well, actually, the Omaha book I have is actually 2 years older than I am.
God.
And it has lesbians in it. So it's like...
Lesbians.
And I'm sure there's some gay in there, too. But it's just funny because, like, huh. I guess the comics really haven't changed all that much.
Yeah, wasn't one of Omaha's friends a gay guy?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Mm. I mean, the comics themselves are pretty transgressive back in the day. You know, people saw them like, ooh, that's so weird and kinky and strange, mm-hmm. and I like it. And so, I mean...
It makes me feel funny in my no-no place.
It had gay characters mm-hmm. back in the early 80s.
Yeah, But it is weird to think that there's basically people, for lack of a better term, aging out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, I mean, it was totally worth paying the, like, what, $7.50 or whatever I ended up paying for those, just to get my hands on some pieces of furry history.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a copy of...
It's a pity you weren't at BLFC then, because there was actually a big pile of old issues of YARF in the back dealer's room just left on the table. And with a free for the taking sign on them.
Damn.
Yeah.
I still have a ring bound copy of Tales of the Taipan Universe on my mm-hmm. bookshelf.
Yeah.
I paid like $1 for it at Anthrocon 2004.
The dude that is the editor of that still goes to Rainforest, still sells them.
Hmm. Cool.
Like, I think they're still putting
them out. And it has like the old Terry Smith illustrations on the back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. That was like, oh man, Chester. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chester, you know where it's at. It was popular ringtail in the fandom.
And it was funny because I didn't realize that Chester was a male character for a little while.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
I was like, oh, this character's hot. And then the mouse girl's, daddies! I'm like, wait, what?
Oh. That's a dude.
The
Havoc Inc.
I think I've talked about this on the show, but like, I saw an ad for Havoc Inc. in the back of Furlough the month before Havoc Inc. came out, and I thought, oh, she's cute. So I bought Havoc Inc., and I started reading it, and I was like, oh, that's a guy. Okay. Oh, those guys are together. Oh, that's kind of cool. And this was like when I still thought I was straight, you know? So like, Chester became like one of my first gay crushes.
When you want to send a message back to your past self, by the way, in 15 or however years, you're going to be married to a dude. Yep. I watched the head go, pew.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing that bugs me about in politics right now. Like, people are giving Hillary Clinton and a couple other people a ton of shit because she changed her mind for the better on gay marriage. And I'm like, she wasn't for it 20 years ago, back in the 90s, and now she is. And I'm just thinking to myself, and I'm like, I used to think the idea of gay sex was horrifying and disgusting before I tried it, you know. And I'm like, look, and you know, and I'm married to a dude, and we produce a lot of porn and stuff like that. And I'm like, look, I evolved on the idea of gay relationships as I discovered myself, you know?
You know, I was 12,
yeah.
You know, at the time. 20 years ago, I didn't have a real conception of sexuality and whatever. So, like, my opinion 20 years ago, you know, and how I was raised, you know, the church my parents attended was pretty religiously conservative, so they had that bits of anti-gayness. And so, of course, you know, 20 years has been a hell of a long time. No one is going to be perfect.
Don't rake people over the coals for shit that they
haven't been perfect for in the 90s.
I saw a thing where basically if you are someone that listens to arguments, digests them, and, you know, take it in and basically evolve, you are a well-balanced human being.
Yeah.
If you do this as a politician, you're flip-floppy, wishy-washy. Yeah. Because how dare you change your mind and become educated?
Yeah. There was some article that was standard. Like, the gay marriage approval disapproval went from like less than 30% to where we are today, 66 plus.
Yeah.
And you know, gay marriage being the law of the land in these last 20 years. Of course people's opinions have changed.
Yeah.
You know, you had people, you know, really brave as shit people like Ellen DeGeneres out there being like, "Hey, look at me, I'm gay."
Yeah.
Like putting
your, in the fucking 90s.
Putting your career on the line at that point in time, you know, to actually come out.
You have this, you know, the first little gasps of visibility were 20 years ago. I mean, you know, obviously Stonewall in 69. You know, and it's like that was like the start, but you know, that was when it's kind of getting a little bit mainstream. Like that tiny little kick, put the foot out the door of the closet going, gay people exist. And, you know, so 20
and
years.
Stonewall was like, you know, no, fuck you. Stop killing us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it still took a long, it took us this long.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
I don't know how I got onto that.
Fuck if I know, dude.
Maybe it came out of that email. I don't know.
So the
we
next
tangented it along a little curve.
Yeah, but yeah. Again, we're that's what this show's about. We tangent and pontificate.
All right, next one: gay marriage and mainstream publicity. Dear Notcast, now that gay marriage is legal in 50 states of the union, it seems inevitable, at least hopeful, that gay marriage will become a more accepted and normal part of society over the next few years. As such, I'm wondering how long it will be before the issue is brought up in mainstream, family-oriented settings such as an animated movie or TV show. Not in a merely suggested way like Legend of Korra, or fan-driven way like certain couples in the My Little Pony fandom, but say two princesses in a Disney movie, or Pixar film about a kid who happens to have and be raised by two dads, featuring as supporting main cast members. What are your hopes for that kind of coverage for equal marriage? Not to publicize it, but to simply show that it is just as normal as any other kind of love. Are there any particular venues of entertainment, be it comics, games, TV, film, that you hope to see it pop up in a mainstream platform at any time soon? I hope this question spawns a little conversation. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves, Theroux, Dundee, Scotland.
We don't have little conversations on this show. They go forever.
So,
I'd love to see it in a Disney film.
The world of children's animation moves very, very slowly. And it was less than 10 years ago we actually got our first black Disney princess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
Tiana.
It took them fuck ever to get to that point. We had an Asian Disney princess before we had a black one. Uh-huh. So,
and we'll have a Pacific Islander one here before too long in Moana.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
It's another Disney princess film set in Pacific, and it's called Moana.
Does that mean that she's a bunny Disney princess in Zootopia?
No.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure that the bunny will not be.
I've loved the realistic human, the realistic drawn period clothing of all the various princesses. So you've got Belle done in French and all this, and at the very bottom, you have Maid Marian, which is a fox with like shredded clothes over top, or spitting out a pearl.
Oh God, that's funny. I had another segue. So I think it'll be a while before we see anything like that in Disney in particular. I mean, other children's animation that are not Disney may go there first. One thing I'd like to see was that with Star Trek Enterprise, they were going to have a gay character, and then they wimped out before they actually filmed it. Malcolm Reed, the security chief on Enterprise, was originally supposed to be gay.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And they pussied out on it. So if they ever do like another Star Trek TV show, I'd like to see them do that. Now, Doctor Who has had a omnisexual companion with Captain Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So, and obviously multiple side characters, the lesbian couple in the Victorian era.
Lizard Gal and...
love those two.
Jenny and Bastra. So Doctor Who is obviously broken ground there. We've had sitcoms with gay people in the past. I'd like to see Trek maybe break that ground at some point.
Okay, so going on to the animated stuff, Legend of Korra, Korra and Asami, at the end of the series, they are together. It has been said as much that, like, word of God from the creators that Korra and Asami are now a couple. Mm-hmm. And actually, the Nickelodeon Facebook page posted a picture of Korra and Asami hugging as, like, their celebration pic for gay marriage.
Ah.
Additionally, in Steven Universe, the gems are monosexual space rock beings, but one of the primary characters is a fusion. Garnet is a fusion of two other gems who are together, and all gems are present as female, and so it is essentially a lesbian. It is two gems that cannot stand to be apart, and they are everything, but like they're like, yo, we're totally married, right?
Right.
On the show, and they function as one being. They are so in tune. Mm-hmm. And so that is some interesting angle of representation on Steven Universe.
Hmm.
On Pony, they had Lyra and Bon Bon, and they really leaned heavily on the best friends kind of thing. And, like, they show that Vinyl Scratch and Octavia live together as well.
Oh, that was actually canonized?
Yeah, they live in the same house.
Ah, that's awesome. That totally makes that animation where she cleans dishes with wubs is canon now.
Yeah, they live together, and actually, like, they made a lot of fan stuff essentially canon.
Right.
And, like, the audiobook I'm working for called University Days I'm doing Pony audiobook fanfics for funsies on the side between projects, and the one I'm working on is it's your fairly bog standard coming into your own college tale of young lesbian romance. I mean, it's you know, Kyle's written them, many people have written this story, but this one happens to feature these two characters, and I was like, yeah, so it kind of canon. I mean, there's obviously no romantic elements on the show, but like they live in the same house, and so it's like this makes a lot of fan stuff essentially canon in its own weird way. And so, I mean, you're never going to have them come out and say, "Yeah, you know, Lyra and Bon Bon are totally a couple," but they sure show up together a lot, and you know, the whole best friends thing that they did
was
in episode
it said
100.
With a nod and a wink.
Oh, dude. I will show you.
Maid Marian in her period dress.
Pearls.
Calming up pearls.
But yeah, Disney is really shit tier about showing gays at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's something that they will have, that they do need to work on. But I mean, Disney is nothing if not calculating.
Yeah.
See money in it, they'll make it happen. And, like, when it comes to comics have gay characters in them for a very long time.
North Star was the big groundbreaking one.
Yeah, and there's been multiple... Yeah, and
then there's his porn, Fist of the North Star.
Yes. In games, you know, pretty much any BioWare title in the last decade, you can get gay as much as you want with, you know, either way, Mass Effect, Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age...
Oh, God, have you guys watched The Flash?
I have not.
No.
The Flash, of course, it's fairly canon. The Flash's character, Barry Allen, is a forensic for the police department and all this other stuff. But the police captain is gay.
Okay.
And they go through and, you know, it is casual mention. It's just like, my husband won't let me eat this, or my boyfriend won't let me eat this, and he's sneaking... a sub on the side because they're heading for their wedding day and they don't want him to get fat. So he's like, I'm eating this now because my boyfriend won't let me eat it. There's a message of this or that. My fiance is in the building. You know, very casually slipped in.
It's by the way.
It's just something talking about their couple. You know, it was
arguably the best kind of representation.
And he was, and he's not, for lack of a better term, he's just a dude. He's not hyper masculine. He's not limp wrist. He's just plain old everyday dude.
Yeah, it's like you that. Know. You know, it's a little bit like that Key and Peele skit, right? Where you got the super flamboyant gay guy with his dick whistle all the time.
Oh, that's right.
And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other guy, the guy assumes that the straight-laced black dude's...
I'm not oppressed. I'm just an asshole.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the by the way. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm gay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so people just go, okay, whatever. It's the normalization of it that makes that's the most progress.
Because and that's we one thing normal. I loved about it is that it was just, it was very off the cuff. I mean, you could have substituted wife or girlfriend for boyfriend. It was
Dokimakura.
Yeah. It was a very casual, you know, the same jokes that you would had heard played out a million times over. Yeah, like I said, my girlfriend won't let me eat this. My boyfriend won't let me. It was swap very.
Gender out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, we're getting there.
Yes.
I mean, kids and entertainment is harder to do, but there is representation in like Korra. I mean, they took till the fucking end to do it, but they,
look at his little tiny phone.
I know.
It's so cute.
I have such a baby phone. I have an iPhone 4S, and you have
a Nexus 6.
And
I've got a Samsung Note 4.
Yeah, so my phone fits well within my entire phone fits well within the screen on both of theirs.
I was just amused. I was looking at it there, and I was like, it's like a remote control.
God, well, like, and tangenting off the Sarah Sorry. Has a 6 Plus, and my entire phone just God, that's so huge. Anyways, so representation is coming slowly but surely. Like, I'm really sure that, like, Star Wars Rebels is not going to have any sort of gay in it. I'm really sure that none of the Star Wars movies are going to have anything gay in it.
I don't know about that.
They recently, in the comics, went as far as to show that Han Solo's wife...
Was black.
Was black. Yeah. And that's like, ooh, that's daring for Star Wars. And I'm like...
Yeah. Okay, yeah, maybe. Well, no, remember I was telling you about the other one. It was a book or a comic where, like, the new big bad Moff character was a lesbian.
No idea.
It was. I think it's a canon book series because it's come out since the rejiggering.
That's news to me, and that makes me happy because, you know, I haven't actually picked up a Star Wars novel since the end of... Well, since the middle of the New Jedi Order series, so when they killed Chewbacca with a fucking moon. I was like... I was already not enjoying the series, and I thought the villains were real fucking stupid. And just, you killed Chewbacca, fuck it, return the book to the library, never read another one. But now that they've, like, rebooted it and they're writing them...
That was kind of me and Torchwood.
Oh.
And when Yanto died, I was like, nope.
Nope. Done.
Don't care about the last episode. Yeah, that was just like, I've never had a story, something turn me off as bad as that one episode of Torchwood. So,
I mean, it's good that we're getting there.
Yep.
We're getting there.
All right, so.
One last email, and then we'll wrap this sucker up.
So that'd be your turn, right, Saverin?
Yep. All right, dear Fuzz, Saverin, and Chiva, first of all, I hope you all have recovered from Fiesta Equestria. Well, I have.
Oh, shouldn't you talk about
that?
Oh, come on.
No.
Don't you want to? Don't you want trouble and make it double?
No.
No.
That was a mess. That's all I say. Now, the reason I'm writing this, I would like advice on my current roommate situation. First, I'll start with the latest in a series of issues. Now, our propane went out. Normally, not a big deal. When I asked him about it, since he's head of house, he told me that there was no extra money and that it was not a priority. Now, we all use the stove for its cooking. Now, all we use the... Oh, okay. I didn't parse that correctly. Now, all we use the stove for is cooking. Fast forward 2-3 weeks later, and it's still not filled. Why, may you ask? Because my other roommates just use the microwave for cooking. Come to find out, it would only take about $130, give or take, to fill both tanks. Yet still, he has money to buy random shit he doesn't need on the internet. And I've been talking to my parents, and I'll be more than likely moving back home at the end of July and going back to college in fall or the winter for journalism. The only major con I can see is there's no internet access if I move back. I would mostly like to help on how well to tell my roommates, seeing as how I'm related to them, cousins.
What?
Okay.
how to tell the roommates that they ran out of propane?
No, I would most likely like help on how to tell my roommates, seeing as how I am related to them, their cousins. As I stated before, this is only the latest issue that has come up. I would tell you more, but I don't want to start ranting as well as give you a wall of text. Heaven forbid Shiva get one of those. Sorry for going on, as well as the wall of text already sent here. This That's is actually really wall. Mild compared to some we've been getting. Keep stuffing foxes. Yours, sexy Steve.
Honestly, I just say, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go to college, so I'm moving back home with Mom and Dad. Yeah, it's like I'm
going back home, back to live at home with Mom and Dad, and
I'm going to college.
Going to college. And you know what? I bet internet's pretty damn cheap nowadays. I bet you can get something at your parents' house.
Yeah.
Even if they don't have it, you can buy it.
Get it on a phone.
Or a little MiFi or something. Or,
shit, you can get... I bet you can get a DSL pretty cheap. Ain't gonna be the fastest in the world, but you can get it for $35-$40 a month
on
now.
On how rural they are, but they've got satellite internet, which will get her done. It might not do a lot, but you can...
You won't be watching Netflix on it, but you can still get your email and browse sites slowly.
And FA and...
Mm-hmm. It's like, look, if I can do it on if I did it in 28.8, you can do it too. Now, I did it on 28.8 nearly 20 years ago, but that's...
And then you'll download the podcast and it'll sound like...
Yeah. Modem... Do you know what that was, kids? That's called a modem noise. Ask a gray muzzle what that was.
Yeah.
I once heard dubstep referred to as two modems fucking.
Yeah. That's perfect.
I dropped the line retarded robots farting lasers on somebody the other day. I forget what it was about, but it was about electronic music.
I love that there's a genre of music called glitch hop.
Glitch hop?
Glitch hop.
It's hip hop with electronica elements, and it's glitchy noises, square waves, like NES, think NES music. There's hip hop.
There's a reference to music in Tempo's new book, Windfall, of a musical genre for dogs called yip hop.
Yip hop. Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Use that on Zero.
Yeah.
You gotta go listen to your yip hop music.
Yeah.
And they can still talk about bitches.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, that ends it for this week. The only other email we have is Patreon sent us an email going, hey, we're really sorry. We apparently fucked up something on our end, and you'll get your money. Please don't kill us. I don't know what that was about. I know I saw a couple people on Twitter freaking out because they were heavily relying upon it.
Yeah.
Whereas our Patreon is, well, this will help us repair and replace some of our shit.
It's basically going into a pile and we'll eventually buy a new.
This is not our $3,000 a month. Patreon. Please pay my rent. Yeah, but it'd be a useless drain on society otherwise.
This is bias. What piece were we looking to replace first?
The microphone interface.
Yeah, this is trickle-in
this fucker.
Buy a new interface.
Has three working ports out of eight.
Mm hmm.
But we only went robot like once.
And the three working ones change every week.
Yeah. Well, you saw me. I had to switch the ports on my mic. Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, you can find us on Furfinity at Nautcast. You can find us on Twitter at Nautcast. You can find us on Tumblr, where our episodes are posted for direct download on Nautcast.
You can find us at .com on Nautcast.
Yes, you can find us on iTunes. I hope you're seeing a trend. And again, we are supported by Patreon. We're not
Which
really
again
doing
is?
Nautcast. $4 a month would really help. I mean, every little bit. I mean, and it's not even $4 a month. It's one we ever put on an episode. So, like, last week we missed out on an episode because life. And so you don't got to pay us for that.
Oh, yeah. I won't be here.
You don't have
next
to pay
week.
Us for life.
Well, you don't got to pay us when we don't put on an episode.
Yeah.
That counts as a real episode.
Y'all should get guests next week.
All right.
Or
we'll
just
see,
do a two-person one the other.
If, maybe Kira every around.
We could go British. I could ask Noxie.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, we can have the Brit invasion. Oh, God.
We're going to talk about butts.
Get Zap and Noxie. It'll have the all British week.
It's like just talk fuck next to each other and people will like it. And I'm like, but no, just talk. All right. Well,
just say fuck.
You can
say fuck.
You can always email us at notcast@foxduffers.com about any topic we've discussed this week or a topic you'd like to have us pontificate about, because boy, howdy, we like talking. Mm. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this for 285 fucking episodes.
Boy,
Jesus
I tell
Christ.
You what, that gay marriage, man.
They took our gerbs. Man, just think of all the anti-gay, like, pack employees that are now unemployed.
Yeah. Well, no, because they're still going to keep trying.
They're
going to
keep trying, but, man, those donations are going to dry up. They're going to have to let their income slash their intern slash mistress slash, you know, cocksucker boy out of their job. You know, it's like, man, just think of all those poor bigots now out of a job.
Those poor babies.
I love that segment on the Daily Show where, like, the consultant, I don't remember who she was, but she's, like, hugging the bigot. So, like, this will be the last time I see you. I'm really going to miss you. Can I give you a hug? No. Oh, bless. You know?
Bless. All right. So, thank you for listening, folks, and we will see you next week. On that note,
good night.
Good night, and big balls.
Giant, huge, honking balls.
Doug Winger balls.